What's happening to our country, and why is prayer important? What is the point behind praying for our country? Does it really make any difference? The armchair hand-wringing is getting us nowhere. It's time to move heaven to help us. Join us today for an episode of Homefront where we talk about why we have a National Day of Prayer. Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Welcome to Homefront. I am so glad to have you today. We have a very special guest. He is Reverend Ed Plants. He's the pastor of Geyer Road Baptist Church in Kirkwood, Missouri. And today we're here to talk about the National Day of Prayer. So, Reverend Plants, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, first let me ask, how did you come to be involved with the National Day of Prayer?
This has been something that's always been in kind of the lifeblood of our church here. We have a core group of people that just have a heart for prayer and love to see believers united together in prayer, knowing that there is a power in corporate prayer, that what Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And it's not that Jesus is more impressed with a prayer of 25 people over one person or 100 people at a gathering as opposed to 30 people in a small group, but the fact is when we join together in prayer, we're being like-minded and joining the heart of the Heavenly Father in just lifting up the concerns that would be according to His will and that would honor His name. And so there's a value in coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ before our Heavenly Father and just joining our hearts together and to petition Him.
Well, let me ask you this question. What happened to our country? I mean, you are about the same age as me, and we grew up in a world that seemed to be more moral and decent and respectable and honorable than where we find ourselves today. So what has happened to our country, and how did we wind up in the mess we find ourselves in today?
Well, and you look at the history of cultures over basically all of recorded history, there's a pattern there that has happened again and again where people have turned to the Lord and prospered and grown in terms of experiencing God's blessings. And it's, I think, part of our human nature that many times we get complacent and we get self-satisfied and we begin to think, well, we can handle life on our own without the guidance of the Lord, and we start getting presumptuous to think that we know what is the best way to go rather than trusting the Lord's direction in all those things. And so you see that as a pattern in the history of Israel in biblical times. You see that as a pattern in many different cultures over history, and I fear that's part of what is happening in our culture. We've become prideful and self-sufficient, and many have turned away from submitting to God's way of doing things.
So why is prayer important?
Prayer is important because it is a reminder to us that we are dependent upon the mercies of God. And the prayer that we come together to pray for our country is not specifically to bless our country as much as it is to acknowledge corporately that we are a nation that is under God, not that all people in our nation are submitting to God, but it's an acknowledgement that He is sovereign and He is in control. And even though we tend to think that we are self-sufficient, it's a reminder to us that we need to call upon our Lord and know that we are dependent upon His mercy and grace.
What is the point behind having people come together? Can't people just pray in private?
Certainly they can pray in private, and that's certainly an important part of prayer, but I do think that we see a biblical pattern of both private prayer in our own prayer closet, but also the example of believers coming together corporately. And I think one of the great examples, if you read through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, after the nation of Israel had returned from the exile, when they recognized that their nation had come under the judgment of God, that they read aloud from the law of the Lord, and the Bible says they spent a quarter of the day reading Scripture and a quarter of the day confessing sins and acknowledging their guilt before the Lord. And wouldn't that be an incredible thing to corporately have a public repentance that was as dramatic as that? We cannot equate the United States with the nation of Israel. It's a mistake to try to force that issue, and yet there are some parallels that as a people group, we just need to humbly come before the Lord in repentance and acknowledge our dependence upon Him.
You know, I don't think we're there yet. I believe that if we were to come up with a notion of corporately praying, some people would consider that to be a big downer and wouldn't that impugn their self-esteem? And what if it makes you, what if you make people feel bad? I mean, wouldn't that be a tragedy? And why would people want to come out for stuff like that?
The whole concept of self-esteem is really out of perspective, I think, at this present time. The concept that for instance, that we are all sinners is not a downer, because we're all in the same boat. We're all corporately have rejected the Lord's way at different points. And the fact that God has not totally rejected us, but He continues to have a love for us, and He continues to make available to us forgiveness and cleansing and restoration and grace, is just a marvelous tribute to the grace of our Lord. The fact that we are all needy points out even more clearly the grace of our Lord, that He values us enough that even though we have sinned, He loves us and cares for us and values us enough that He makes available a way of restoration and forgiveness.
Well, Ed, let's pretend that you and I are medical professionals working in an emergency room at a hospital.
Okay.
And they call on the phone and say an ambulance is coming in, there's been a car accident, and we should be prepared. So we're standing by, and they bring in this stretcher. The first thing we do with the patient is we take their signs, and the signs are looking bad. This country is like a patient being brought into the emergency room, and the pulse is weak, the lungs are barely breathing, the patient is bleeding all over the place, our country is spiritually anemic. What is it going to take to bring things back? And worse than that, what happens if the patient says, no, please don't treat me, I feel fine?
Well, let's expand your analogy out to say that this accident was a whole busload of people. And when those busload of people are brought into the emergency room, you would start with one patient at a time. And God doesn't call us to turn the tides of public opinion through an opinion poll or through taking a stand that would magically turn everyone's heart. I think when we see what Jesus did, He valued one person at a time, and He gave each individual that He encountered that had a desire for something different, something better, a healing touch from the Lord, He gave each of them the attention to help turn that person. And then when we reach one person at a time and help build them up in the faith to where they can then in turn turn around and touch somebody else's life, then you get the multiplication effect of when a culture or a nation turns a tide. But we can't be so overwhelmed by the staggering numbers of people's apathy or turning away from God that we get discouraged. God's called us to go to one person at a time and to be sensitive to His Spirit's leading, that there are people around us that are hungry for something new and something different or a relationship with the Lord. And as we are sensitive to His Holy Spirit to touch one person at a time, then we would hope and pray that would continue to touch other lives.
Hi, friends. Do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released. That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. So this Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. What do you expect to see changed from it?
Well, there are a number of different municipalities all over the St. Louis area and all over our country where people are gathering, and most of the prayer gatherings are usually either at a city hall or at a municipal location that is a reminder to people that we can gather to pray even in a public setting where people driving by are going to notice what is that group of people doing and what's going on. And it's a reminder that, yes, we can call upon a God. We're not forcing a religion on anybody, but it is making a public statement to say there are people of faith who are crying out to the Lord. And you would hope that would get some people's attention to say, well, maybe there is something to this, or at least that there are people out there that care enough to petition our Lord for our nation. And like I say, God can do anything in His power, but I don't necessarily expect an overnight change. But you, again, would hope to reach one person at a time and begin to see some effect upon the culture as a whole.
So you're saying if you're driving down the street and you're going near your city hall or some place in public and you see people gathering for prayer, is it okay for us to pull our cars over and go join them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Most of the groups are from 12 to 1 this coming Thursday. And I know a number of municipalities, we certainly are here in Kirkwood, and I know a number of municipalities, people will be gathering to pray. And it's not according to denominations, but it's whoever. A follower of Christ is welcome to participate, and different communities will have, you know, different agendas and exactly how they're going to structure it, but it is open to the public in every case for people to come and pray with others that also have a burden for our country.
Have you seen any examples of where prayer actually changed the outcome or made a difference?
Oh, I could give you so many examples that we wouldn't have time for them all, to be real honest, because I have seen many examples where prayer has made a difference, and people that just have, you would be the last to expect to respond to the Lord because it looks like they're hardened by the experience of their lives to have a heart softened and a countenance changed to say they turn to the Lord in faith. So I've seen many different examples in terms of individuals who have had their lives touched. I know there has been a great appreciation when our church participates with the National Day of Prayer. We send letters to various elected officials and say, we are praying specifically for you, not with a political agenda, but just simply to say that we're praying that God would give you wisdom and wisdom to govern wisely and with righteousness and with integrity. And I have to think those types of letters make an impact. Politicians and other leaders hear from the complainers all the time. But to hear from someone to say, we are praying for you and we're lifting up for you and we care about you and your family personally, I would hope that too would have an impact in how a person thinks about the job that they do in governing a people.
And whether we can see it or not, we have to ask maybe the opposite question. What would happen to this country if we quit praying, if we gave up, if we walked away, if we threw in the towel? Where are we headed if we quit being salt and light?
Yeah, I think that's, like you say, a frightening thought. If believers did become apathetic to say, "Why bother?" It would continue to degenerate. I think there's no question. Human nature being what it was, if we're not salt and light in our community, then the forces for darkness and immorality continue to take over.
So, what is your one final point you want people to remember coming up this week regarding the National Day of Prayer?
I guess if you were to try to summarize it, it is to say that we all have a need to acknowledge that we are not the boss. We are not the Lord. We are not God. God is God. As blessed as we've been in our country needs the Lord. As blessed as we are as individuals, each one of us need the Lord. Whatever our giftedness or skill set or areas of influence, when we compare ourselves to others, we come up with a false perspective. But when we come before a holy and perfect God and a gracious God, it changes our hearts. And ultimately, that's what prayer is all about. Our prayer is not to change God. Prayer is to change us and to bring our hearts under the submission to God's sovereignty over our lives.
Ed, we are so glad you could be with us today. This broadcast goes nationwide. Even though you and I are in the St. Louis area, there are a lot of people who live outside the St. Louis area. Where would they go? People even outside of Missouri. How does anybody know where to go to pray corporately?
The National Day of Prayer is a nationwide movement, and there is a website, www.nationaldayofprayer.org. And if you go to that website, they will give you a lot of event locations that you can quickly type in a zip code or a town name, and they can tell you about events that are close to you, as well as giving you lots of other resources, as well as encouragement, some statements from Billy Graham and Shirley Dobson and Vonette Bright and other leaders who this has been important and it has been a passion of theirs over the years. So there are lots of resources by going to that website, nationaldayofprayer.org.
So what if somebody's listening to our podcast and it's after Thursday, May 1st? Does that mean we only have one day of the year that we pray?
Obviously, we can pray and should pray for our nation all the time. The thing that is special about this Thursday is when we gather to prayer, it's also with the knowledge that literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of other people at the same time are praying and petitioning our God for our nation too. And there is something special about knowing that we're part of something bigger, part of something bigger than our church, bigger than our community. There are many others praying at the same time. That's what makes Thursday a point of emphasis, but certainly we are commanded in Scripture to pray for those who govern over us and to pray for our nation all the time.
And I'll speak as a musician. It's the difference between singing in the shower and singing with a whole choir behind you and instruments and everything else. There is a much bigger impact. Yes, you can sing by yourself, but why not do something strong and profound and make a difference? I would love nothing more than to see the spiritual climate shift on Thursday.
Very definitely.
Thank you for being with us today. You are a blessing. I hope you'll come back again sometime and give us another update.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate the invitation and God's blessings upon you and your ministry.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.